This is the Blue, White and Yellow podcast from Leeds United Live, giving you the in-depth analysis on all the big talking points from Elland Road. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Blue, White and Yellow podcast with myself, Conor McGilligan, your multimedia producer. And I'm joined this week by Joe Bray of the Manchester Evening News to discuss the massive game at the weekend between Leeds United and obviously Manchester City. It's a game that we are probably quite fearful of as Leeds United fans, but I'm coming on here to try and give you guys a little bit of hope that we can grab something in a pivotal weekend in the relegation running. But first of all, Joe, how are you doing, mate? You okay?
Yeah, not too bad. It's really busy for City at the moment, but the games keep on coming and City are trying to just win everything. So it's another test. I think all these games are offering different challenges for City, but I think it should be a pretty good game on Saturday.
Yeah, I think so, Joe. And just before we touch on the actual topic straight off the bat there, when you're talking about all these games that are coming up, I've had a discussion with a couple of people off air as well about the atmospheres going to different grounds. And obviously, Elland Road is quite famous for having a certain atmosphere, really. But do you think it's actually got to a point now with so many of the top clubs around Europe that they've been involved in so many hostile environments and atmospheres around Europe that it doesn't really play a big part anymore?
Yeah, potentially. I think City have got such a recognised style and they've been together for, 5-6 years now. I think they can silence those crowds and just put them to the back of their minds and just get on with playing the game and trust the football. But you have seen at places like Anfield, for example, City never have it particularly easy there, and especially when the crowds are on the back as well. And I think maybe if Leeds get at City and catch him on an off day, that's the sort of thing that could sort of help them along. And even if you think about it in the other way, there's been some nerves at City games recently. They're sort of within touching distance of the title now, and they know that any slip up means that they probably won't win it. So the City fans are not sort of getting against the team, but those nerves are creeping in a little bit. So I think the crowd could play a part. I think mostly City will sort of trust themselves and just keep going and trust that their football will be enough. But I don't think it's a banker of a win for City. It's probably one of the more difficult games left on the fixture list.
So where's the is the sort of a pressure aspect at the minute, Joe? Obviously, we know Liverpool are hot on the tail. And when you just mentioned there that you sort of see, seeing it in performances, what are you referring to there?
So they played Brighton at home last week, and obviously Brighton are quite good defensively. They just won at Spurs and Arsenal, and City weren't playing badly. They had all of the possession, as they always do, but it just wasn't going in. So that you sense a little bit of nerves in the crowd. And to be fair to the City fans, they reacted positively in that respect. They got behind the team, but it was a bit of a different atmosphere, and contrast that to when they took the lead against Watford after, I think, 4 minutes or something. That certainly helped them get the fans on side and help in that respect. And then against Madrid, they got the early lead and that helped as well. So you're hearing more from Guardiola as well, saying we need the fans on board, we need the fans helping us and get behind us, because they need to win every game. That's it. I think Guardiola is right in his assessment that if City drop any points, it's Liverpool's title.
Has there been a standout performance of the season, Joe? I mean, as Leeds fans, I think it is the biggest result this season. If you might be able to correct me, in the Premier League, obviously City 7, Leeds 0. In your opinion, is that sort of the standout performance you've seen from City this season?
I think that was when City were really hitting their stride, and I think that was more about City than about Leeds that day. I think it was one of those performances where everything went right, and they must have just turned up that day and thought, right, we're gonna score a lot of goals here. I mean, for City, they probably wouldn't say that was their best performance. They might even point to one of the Liverpool draws and say they were better performances. I think, against Manchester United, they had two really, really standout games. So, Leeds will remember that, of course, won't they? Because it's a big win. But for City, it's one of those games where they've probably played worse and have drawn or won by only one or two goals, when actually it was just a day where every shot they had went in, and they just caught Leeds on a bad day as well.
Yeah, I mean, I had a couple of mates who went to the game, and a lot of people were turning around and saying they could have played anyone that day, and it'd have been six or seven.
You have that sometimes, and like we were speaking to Gabriel Jesus after he scored four against Watford, and he said, "Do you know, I played a lot better and not had a sniff of goal. It just happened that I had four shots and four went in." And by the way, he played really, really well. I think he was downplaying his contribution, but it's this thing about City, they play the same way, and sometimes they score loads, sometimes they don't, but most of the time they do eventually find a way and get a win.
From a tactical perspective, Joe, is it, I mean, what I've noticed with City is obviously the fullbacks push up, but I think the interesting thing, which is really difficult to defend against, is when the 2-8s will push really far up, because then you almost put the centre-backs in a little bit of a conundrum, really, because they essentially are trying to figure out whether or not to go to the 2-8s and mark the 2-8s, because that's naturally a midfielder's job, or the midfielder's job. It's causing a problem for multiple teams, isn't it? That sort of tactical aspect of pushing those 2-8s on, i.e. maybe like a Gundogan or a Foden.
That's it. And without City having a striker, then they've kind of used it to their advantage, because they've got a false nine, which is often rotated with two, three, maybe four players within a game. And if it's not working, they can just look to someone else. And when you've got Kevin De Bruyne and Bernardo Silva racing forward from midfield, and plus your three forwards who are whatever three combination is going to be very, very good, and, you know, really good movement and sort of hard for most defences to combat against, that sort of five players who are all moving around and know where they are, but the defenders don't. So, I think you're right with the midfield assessment. It probably often goes overlooked because everyone's focusing on who's playing false nine. But I think especially recently, Kevin De Bruyne's in really, really good form. And he started to do those sort of Yaya Toure-esque runs through midfield and bringing on the play. And you don't often see that from City teams. They often try and use the ball to move through. And sometimes it just takes a player running with the ball to break through those lines, and Kevin De Bruyne is doing that really well at the moment. I think De Bruyne would play. Obviously, the Leeds might have an advantage with this being in between the two Real Madrid ties, but when De Bruyne's, I think he's averaging more than a goal a game recently, or certainly goals and assists, I don't think you can really drop Kevin De Bruyne at the moment in the way he's playing.
No, he's a special player, isn't he? I think he's just one of those where you sort of hold your hands up with Kevin De Bruyne. You can combat against it to an extent, but he's an exceptional footballer. Is he sort of the best player in the Premier League for you at the minute?
Yeah, I think so. I was watching that Real Madrid game, and especially in the first half, he was sort of unplayable. Him and Karim Benzema, I was thinking, if there's a better player in the world right now, I'd like to see them, because, yeah, Kevin De Bruyne, when he's in form like this, he's peaked at exactly the right time for City with this running, looking for the Premier League, looking for the Champions League, and he's coming up with big goals as well. So I'd say he's definitely in the best form of his season. And when he's like that, I don't think there's many people on par, but I'm happy to hear arguments about Mo Salah as well, because he's been ridiculous this season. He's also been brilliant.
Who has there been sort of a? I mean, I look at a couple of standout players who might have gone under the radar with Man City to an extent. Obviously, you know, you talk about your standouts, Kevin De Bruyne, or obviously there's been a lot of people who've spoken about Jack Grealish, even though he might not have got to those dizzy heights that we all sort of expected at the start of the season. You know, I know he's moulding into this City side, but are there any players that have just sort of gone under the radar but are really excelling under Pep Guardiola at the minute?
I think City players have sort of taken turns in having really good spells of form. So it's Kevin De Bruyne at the moment. We've had Bernardo Silva was unplayable at the start of the season. João Cancelo on either side has sort of been City's quarterback at times, if you like. Phil Foden's probably having his best season. This is the beauty of the City squad, in that if someone's not at the top of the game, then someone else will be. I'm thinking of Riyad Mahrez as well. He's suddenly popped up with, I think, 22, 23 goals when Guardiola was saying we're not going to have anywhere near a 20-goal-a-season player. You can list as long as you are. And it's interesting you mentioned Grealish there, because he's probably not had his best season, certainly in the Premier League. He's not what City might have expected from a £100 million player, but I'd hold judgment on Grealish until next season, because the amount of players we've seen have take a year to get used to Guardiola's style, get used to the system, get used to the pressures of playing for City at the top. If he's still playing as he is this time next year, then maybe you can start to think about his, whether it's been a worthwhile signing or not. But I would expect him to sort of really find a place in the team and kick on next season.
Yeah, and I guess you can say that with a lot of players, can't you, Joe, with regards to City? You know, you look at Rodri, João Cancelo, Bernardo Silva, they all sort of need the bedding period, didn't they?
Even Nathan Ake this season, he had injuries last season, but he probably didn't justify £40 million. He was necessary at the time because City had no defenders, but then Ruben Dias came in and did brilliantly. But this season, he's really shown himself to be... I don't think he's had a bad game when he's come in and played. And then recently, with all the defensive injuries, he's come in and barely put a foot wrong. So, yeah, you've got a lot of players who just need that time to get used to what Guardiola wants. And as soon as they do, they sort of really kick on from there.
Just flipping the script a little bit there, Joe. I'm going to reference the Southampton game and the Crystal Palace game. They were able to start, I mean, the Southampton at home game, obviously. But in general, when you do look at Southampton, City seem to struggle to figure them out sometimes a little bit. And Crystal Palace are always a little bit of a problem for the big teams, but they were a little bit of a problem for City as well this season. How do you stop City? Are there any sort of glaring ways that you can do it? Or, you know, do you have to match them? Do you have to press them aggressively? Do you sit off them and just play, a low block? What is the way to really get inside the heads and sort of beat Manchester City, really?
I think you often hear of, like, opposition managers saying, if you're going to get anything, you've got to be perfect in everything you do. And as you did those results you mentioned, like Palace and Southampton defensively, they were really, really good, and they kept a really good shape. And even Brighton last week, I think it was about 55 minutes until City scored. And until then, you were thinking they might nick something here. They're doing really well in stopping City from getting through. So I think you need to just be compact, especially in the first half. Stay within your shape. Maybe don't be as adventurous as you might want to be, and then hope that City get frustrated and they have an off day. But yeah, I think keeping a really tight shape is important, because City will continue to move the ball around, move the players around, try and tire you out, and they will get the chance. I think a good example is the Atletico Madrid ties. Atletico Madrid played 99% of a perfect tie, I think, in terms of defending against City. It might not have been great to watch, but defensively it was a really good example of how you can stop City while sort of everyone's playing on the same team, like everyone's on the same page, playing out a tactical plan. And it was just one moment across the whole tie that City were able to get through. And that's what City will always look for, that one little lapse in concentration. So you've just got to make sure that you don't give them that. Sometimes it won't happen because the players are so good and they are so persistent and really good at finding those scoring opportunities. But you never know. It might be a day where the nerves get to City, the crowd get behind Leeds and something can happen. I don't think this season you can put it past City from having one of those days. Maybe last season they looked unstoppable in that sense, but this season they are prone to once in a while having a day where it just isn't working for them.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, what obviously Madrid's going to be a factor. If listeners don't know, obviously Man City have played Real Madrid this week, won 4-3, and they've got to go to the Bernabeu next week, and it sort of might work in Leeds' favour, really. I mean, I was thinking to myself, you know, it was 4-2. I mean, you're not thinking tie over, but you know, you're struggling to see Madrid recover from that, really. But when that third one goes in, you're thinking to yourself, well, it's game on again. Could that play into Leeds' hands a little bit when it comes to squad selection, Joe?
Potentially. I think especially in defence, City have got a couple of injury worries. Kyle Walker's still not right. John Stones came back after a week with an injury and then limped off again. They'll have João Cancelo back, but their options are a little bit thinner than Guardiola might like. And he does like to rotate when he's got sort of three games a week, week after week after week. But then again, he had sort of Jack Grealish, Raheem Sterling on the bench on Saturday. You'd probably expect those players to come in. You've got you do have a lot of players.
Those average Joes.
I know, yeah. It's just you can rest Raheem Sterling for a Champions League semi-final, and it goes without any real question from City fans. Mm. It's ridiculous, the strength that they have. And then you've got informed players like Jesus and Mahrez and people like that. And he often uses the subs to rotate. So if, say, City are winning 1 or 2-0, that after an hour, he'll take one of those players off who've played in the week and bring another one on to, just to keep everyone as fresh as possible. But I think there might be one or two changes. Maybe Nathan Ake will come in just to give either Laporte or Diaz a rest. I guess João Cancelo will come back because he was suspended against Real Madrid in the week. So there might be 3 or 4 changes, but that's sort of normal for this City side. And then they'll... this is it with Guardiola. He'll always say his focus is on Leeds, not the second leg against Real Madrid. And then he'll drop a selection decision that really points to him in resting the player for Real Madrid. So it's difficult to say, but I'd maybe guess 3 or 4 changes.
Well, any other team, you're sort of thinking that's great, but yeah, you're talking, as you've just said, Joe, you're talking about Grealish coming in, Riyad Mahrez coming in, Sterling coming in, and whoever, Gundogan coming in, or whatever. It's the plethora of squad is quite remarkable, but Leeds have changed, Joe, in terms of when Jesse Marsh has come in, they've become very narrow, very compact. Very different from the Marcelo Bielsa way, which I know sort of has some similarities with the Guardiola way in terms of making the pitch as wide as possible. It does leave the fullbacks a little bit exposed to teams who play out wide, but I have seen Southampton, who play very, very narrow, as I've said before, cause Man City some problems with being compact, but also being very aggressive in the press. Do you think that could benefit Leeds? And do you think it's a better strategy than going man for man and being as wide as possible like we were at the Etihad?
I think it probably goes back to what you asked before about how to stop City. If you pack the area, it's probably a better strategy than leaving it open in the area, because the amount of time City will move it wide and they've got no one in the box, just because they lack that natural striker, they'll often find a way to score another way. But it's probably safer to defend against City if they've got the ball out wide. I'm not saying that's a foolproof plan, but when you talk about Leeds being narrow now, that makes me think that it might be a bit of a more difficult afternoon for City than it could have been. But I mean, they struggled against Bielsa's side last season. We were just talking before about it was 4 points for Leeds out of two, and City sort of didn't really have an answer to that. So maybe they'll see that this change in strategy is a way that they can improve on that. I mean, forgetting that 7-0 earlier in the season, but
yeah, we don't need to talk about that.
Apologies. I always think it's City's game to lose whoever they play, but maybe if Leeds can stay compact, pack the area, I think that's what teams who've been successful against City this season have done. And then if the ball's out wide, then City probably less threatening than if they've got it in those sort of inside channels trying to play someone through.
All right, Joe, that's been fascinating. Before we leave, I always ask everybody what the score predictions are going to be. But before that, Joe, where can people find you for all your great Manchester City content after Leeds get the win, of course?
I'll be dissecting that on Twitter, so it's _JoeBray.
Go check that out, everybody. But Joe, before I let you go, I'm going to make you put your head above the parapet. What's your score prediction, mate?
I think I'll go 3-1 City, I think. I don't think it'll be as easy as that suggests, but I think it might be one of them that as soon as City get one or two, they'll get another.